You're with Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
I wonder, when you've gone for your walk and you've taken that first step, whether or not you've gone past houses and looked through and seen that warm glow in the lounge room of a log fire. It's still like the fantasy, isn't it, in winter, of snuggling up with a log fire. Joining you to talk this through, first and foremost, from Dicksonian Rare Plants, Stephen Ryan joins you. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Libby. And I do have the open fire.
Yes.
And mine is a fully fledged, ordinary open fire, you know, as in no sort of doors, windows, anything like that over it. It's a proper log fire. And I feel really holier than that because I cut my own wood.
Right.
And, you know, so I get warm twice. And, yeah, and it warms the house up really well. But, of course, it doesn't stay on overnight because you can't sort of close it down or anything. But it warms up most of my house really nicely. And I can stand with my backside against it, which is what all guys like to do when there's an open fire.
Exactly. Mm. But, you know, some people say that, well, many people think that log fires are terrible for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I thought this morning Dr. Andrea Hinwood. Oh, what a great name when we're talking about burning wood. Happens like that sometimes. I once knew a man called Richard Fone who worked for Telecom. Anyway, yeah. Dr. Andrea Hinwood is Victoria's chief environmental scientist at the EPA. Good morning to you, Andrea.
Morning, Libby.
Did you note that irony with the name?
I did. I love that. And, you know, my father, when he was young, he was called David Chicken Forest as a nickname. So sorry,
It's funny, isn't it? How it tickles the fancy. Come on, tell us about this whole notion, the romance of the log fire, balancing it up against your role at the EPA.
Yeah, it's a really tough one because I agree. There's nothing like that lovely romantic image of that lovely log, the burning, the warmth coming from it. It's lovely. The hassle is, we know that the emissions from wood heaters and from open fires do contribute to poor air quality, particularly in areas where there are a lot of people with them. And it's interesting in Melbourne because it's about 27% of air pollution in winter, and we use a measure of particulate matter. It's about 27% contributes to poor air quality.
Mm.
That's a high number.
It is. Does this matter even if you cut the wood yourself on your own property?
Yes.
This is the trick. This is about, you know, this is not saying, you know, wood heaters are a source. And, you know, I'm not going to say differently. And there are health issues associated with emissions from wood heaters. But it is about how you maintain it, how you prepare your wood, and make sure you're operating it properly. We operate cars, we maintain them. Wood heaters and open fires are the same thing.
So you're saying that if we manage our fires properly, we're going to have less issues with emissions and...
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I'm feeling a little holier than thou now.
Maybe I can convince you to still convert at some point, but anyway.
Yeah.
What do you want us to convert to? What would be the thing for you, Andrea?
Look, I think that if you are at... You know, some people have to have this as a source of heat, and I'm never going to say you have to have heat, right? So we're not saying go out and buy a new heater. But clearly, if you went and bought an electric heater, it's going to have less emissions for your neighbours.
Much fun sitting around with a glass of wine, though.
Yeah, and the marshmallows get really sticky on the grate.
And you know, they can actually be noisy too. So there are other issues with them. So it's never a perfect, switch over. But what we are saying is if you do have a wood heater, make sure they're maintained. You know, use a professional, make sure your wood's dry, burn them bright, do all of those things. And there's information available on that. But if you're thinking about switching over, it does save the airshed a bit, particularly in these cold temperatures when we have these temperature inversions where the pollution gets trapped. And people are sensitive to that air pollution. Thinking about it.
I beg your pardon. I already have text messages from people saying, you know, I suffer from asthma.
Yeah.
And I can't breathe due to the smoke coming from poorly managed fires. So please feel free to join the conversation 1300 0422 774 774 if you would like to join in our conversation. Your guest is Dr. Andrea Hinwood, Victoria's Chief Environmental Scientist at the EPA. Stephen Ryan is my co-host from Dicksonian Rare Plants, and we're talking about the joys of log fires, but also how to do it responsibly, yeah. I guess.
Well, there is that side of it, although I have other things that come into the scenario. I have a block, not a big block, but I have old trees. I have wood that comes down out of the trees. Sometimes I have to have a tree removed if it dies. So I see it as part of my recycling things within the property, because if I don't actually burn it as firewood, what do I do with it? You know, so I have a slightly different angle with some of these things. So I use it to burn the wood, then the ash goes into my garden, so that apart from the smoke, nothing leaves my property, hopefully.
Andrea, how would we reduce smoke pollution? I guess that's the question, isn't it? What are the tips?
Well, so the first thing is, if you've got a wood heater and open fire, of course, you always need to use your dry wood, your seasoned wood that has been put away and dried. You know, if you freshly cut it, you should be stacking it in a shed, dry, in a crisscross fashion to allow airflow, so that for about, you know, 8 to 12 months prior to using. So if you are using moist wood or freshly cut wood, it produces a lot more smoke. So that's a fairly simple thing that people can do. And people describe the fact that when they use dry wood, they actually see much less smoke being produced. And if you go outside and have a look at the stack on your house, you'll see less again.
Interesting. So it needs to be mature wood, dry,
yes,
mature
seasoned
wood.
And if you can purchase seasoned wood, that's good. But if you are cutting your own, then again, make sure you undertake that practice to stack it properly and dry it over a period of time.
That's all part of the system, isn't it? Because if you're stacking your own wood, you get warm stacking it. If you're cutting it, you get warm cutting it. And then when you light the fire, you get warm again.
So then you don't need it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is making sure your flue's clean too. You know, there are other things about, you know, don't pack your heater too full of wood as well. So learn how to operate the device properly so that you don't create an issue for others.
Can I throw another little thing in here? When I decided to build my chimney and have an open fire, part of the issue for me was finding somebody that could actually design a good old-fashioned chimney that drew well, pushed the heat out into the room, and actually worked. Because half the fireplaces I know around Victoria that are modern fireplaces, they're absolutely hopeless. They don't draw properly. They tend to smoke into the lounge room. I mean, I rarely, if ever, get any smoke comes out of our fireplace. And when I've got it lit well, it really warms up at least the downstairs of the house exceedingly well. But I spent a lot of time, money and effort finding somebody who could actually build the fireplace I needed, and apparently it was a design created by Benjamin Franklin that I actually ended up using for my chimney, and there's enough bricks in it to build a small brick veneer house, apparently.
How interesting, which of course reminds me of our friend Steve the Chimney Sweep, who's in Geelong. We must get him on to talk about how often you should clean your chimney, because obviously, Andrea, that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, so we recommend, certainly before winter, is that you do that every year, that you actually have that checked, have it professionally checked by someone who knows what they're looking at. And if you've got a wood heater, follow the manufacturer's instructions as to how to use that. If you've lost them, the internet's great now. You can go and find that version and see if you can find out how you should be operating it properly.
How do you get a hot fire going quickly, Andrea, and responsibly at the same time?
Use paper and kindling and get that fire burning quickly before you put your big logs on, essentially. So, you know, that practice of, you know, that lovely where you have those little twigs and sticks that you put with some paper under it, and get that going, and then put your larger logs on after. But don't put too many. You know, you don't want to have too many, because they'll produce more smoke because you haven't got enough oxygen flow through.
This is interesting. Your guest is Dr. Andrea Hinwood, Victoria's Chief Environmental Scientist at the EPA. I would like to ask you if you've noticed an improvement in air quality under lockdown. Is this something?
Yes.
Tell us
yes.
about those figures.
So it's really interesting. So we actually just got a report where they looked at the period where the cases were increasing and people were starting to restrict their use. Then we've got the lockdown period, which I think I'd have to remember the dates, but it's, you know, April to May 10. Yeah, that's right. And then they started to release. So during that period before May 11 and things started to improve, we saw only, and this is what's interesting, only about a 20% reduction in PM2.5, and that's mainly from motor vehicle traffic. And we think the reason we didn't see such a big difference was, of course, people were then using their wood heaters because it's been cold.
You were stuck at home, yes.
That's right, exactly. So yes, we definitely have seen an improvement through that period. Was it huge? But I think we also need to be aware, though, levels in Melbourne are usually pretty good. We've certainly had some events which have significantly blanketed Melbourne, and we have local areas that are impacted, you know, with wood smoke and burning, etc. But generally, we're talking about much lower levels. So we certainly haven't seen the huge gains that other countries have seen, probably because we're at that lower end. So we've seen it. We're almost going back to normal now, though.
Great to talk to you, Andrea. We should do a longer chat about all sorts of things in the weeks coming up. Is that all right?
That would be fun. Thank you.
Would love to. Dr. Andrea Hinwood, Victoria's Chief Environmental Scientist at the EPA. Stephen Ryan from Dicksonian Rare Plants is my co-host.